Thank you, Jill. Please join me in the outline that you have printed in your bulletins. I'm going to look at what God is like, his compassionate heart, when he speaks into a situation, things happen. There's a news flash up there, Jesus raises man from the dead. My wife Jill said that should be like a sub-headline, says Jesus ruins funeral. But God is our God is a God of hope, and there are problems in life that arise that are really too much for us to bear. Like the death of a loved one, that's really difficult. That's something that's really hard. This lady's son, she's a widow, and now she loses her son. Just a bit of background on this lady. She probably is not too old. I would guess she's in her 30s. And it's really hard for a woman in those days to find a way to make a living. Her husband's already gone. And the word that they use in Greek for the boy, it's somebody who's in his teens or early 20s. So this is a pretty tragic thing, but Luke chapter 7, this part of Luke chapter 7, shares what Jesus did exactly so that we would know what God is like. You see, knowing what God is like gives us hope. We started a class on Islam today. Looking at Islam and looking at Christianity, I was really amazed at the difference between the God of Islam and the God of Christianity. I was really surprised by what I saw when I began to dig a little bit deeper. You know, God became man, that's what we believe. And such a thought is just really abhorrent to Islam, that God would not stoop to doing anything like that. And you know, from our perspective, we see it as love. We see it as compassion, because we cannot save ourselves. And you know, I was thinking about it, it would not be very nice of God if he told us to work as hard as we can when he knows we can't save ourselves anyway. And you know, Jesus just shows us this beautiful image of God's compassion. Even for the pious Jewish people of Jesus' day, they would have never touched a coffin. They would have never touched a dead body because it would have made them unclean. But God identifies with us in this way because he knows that we cannot save ourselves. And you know, knowing that God is compassionate towards us inspires hope in God alone. And the text says, there was a huge crowd following Jesus. It was demonstrating how popular he was. And everybody was following him. He would go into one town, and there would be a group of people that would see what he did, and then they would latch onto him, and then that would happen in the next town. And everybody was following him to see what was going to happen. He approaches this village of Nain, and they run into the funeral procession. You know, the only son of this woman, she's a widow. It's a really moving situation. She's going to be all alone now. There's no welfare. There's no Social Security. And you know, the other thing that she has to deal with is this is the end of her family line as well. And you know, the fact that all these people are there, it just shows that they had such sympathy and they were really feeling her pain. And the interesting thing to me is that nobody asked Jesus to do anything. Nobody asked him to do a thing. He takes the initiative. He does it just on the heart of compassion that he has. He goes to that place, he comes to the widow, and he speaks to her. And she is at the head of the procession, standing in front of this stretcher that's wrapped with the body of her son. And he says, "Stop crying. Don't cry." And then he goes up to the open coffin. And as I mentioned, it would be an unclean act to do this. But when it comes to human need, Jesus never stood on ceremony or formality. He speaks to the young man, and when he speaks to this young man, he immediately comes to life. Jesus raises the dead son of this widow, and he is manifesting the same powers that Elijah in that Old Testament reading had. One difference, Elijah prayed, and he asked God to do it. He pleaded with God to do it. Jesus didn't do any of that. He just spoke, and it happened. He has all that power and authority. This story draws attention to the gracious compassion of Jesus Christ for those in distress. First, God gives them hope. And it's good to remember that God's presence is with you. He is really with you, genuinely with you. Always that's the case. And you will never be without Him. You may not feel that He is there. You may not even be aware of it. But He is, and He cares, and He can help. He knows exactly what your need is. There's beautiful verses that I put in the outline for us that you can hold on to, you can meditate on, you can think about. Jesus is standing in the gap between your emotional downfall, your concerns, your stresses, your anxieties. He's right there. And even before the words leave your mouth, even before you finish formulating them in your mind, He is listening, He's responding, He's knowing. He doesn't wait for you to ask. You know, this situation seemed hopeless. It was hopeless to the widow. But Jesus went out of His way to help them. He went out of His way to meet this need that day. And the young man who is dead is a picture of us of spiritual death because he cannot help himself. There's nothing he can do. And Jesus comes to him. There are so many uncertainties in this life. You know, every funeral that I've ever been to, people, and they're just thinking about all the things that are going to happen, all the things in life that are uncertain, and all the difficulties and trials, they come up in our minds, and we think about these things. And, you know, there is less emphasis in this story on personal faith. There is less emphasis in this story on people believing and acting in faith. The emphasis is on God's compassion because it doesn't matter about just believing. You know, I can believe that a Twinkie will deliver me and keep me from getting cancer. That doesn't make it true. It's not the faith, it's the object of that faith. It's who you're believing in. It's what your faith is anchored to and targeted to. And that's really what makes the difference. And Jesus Christ came into this situation. I think it is so easy for us to lose that personal and intimate contact and relationship with God. It is very easy for us for our faith just to become mechanical. It is very easy for us to really see God as distant. But Jesus Christ came to earth to do miracles. He did that to personally relate God's power in everyday life, and He's still doing the exact same thing today. You know, this touches the most basic element of a life-changing relationship with God. We have to see that He is full of compassion, that He is for us. They looked up and they didn't know what would happen. They could see Jesus Christ and they could see His compassion, His grace, His love for them, His concern for that situation. But I'll bet in their wildest imagination, they could never have believed what God was envisioning in this situation. And He came into that situation in their helplessness, in their hopelessness. And they did something that we need to do that I think is the key to us walking in the grace of God. You see, when He came up to that funeral procession and He came close to the casket, they stopped. We need to stop. We need to just stop and we need to just have that time that's quiet where we can just come into God's presence. And we can just receive of a beautiful, loving, compassionate God. He knows your needs even before you vocalize them. And it is his passion and his heart to answer them. You know, when they stopped, Jesus Christ touched their world. He touched them, and he spoke into that situation. And when he spoke into that situation, he created life. And there is a spiritual strength that happens when we draw closer to God that you will not find anywhere else. Our strength goes weak. You know, we worry and stress. You ever notice how worry kind of just takes you down? It zaps your strength out of you. And, you know, I found a quote from Martin Luther. It's from Luther's works. It's volume 30. It's page 158. And Luther was talking about the strength that comes from a deep relationship with God as opposed to the strength of humans. And he says, the strength of God is far different from physical strength, which decreases and is consumed if one uses it and does something too much. But this spiritual strength increases the more one makes use of it and applies it. Jesus Christ brought his word into that situation, and that word really changes things. God is showing us that a dynamic and living faith not only welcomes the presence of Christ's touch, but it also lets his word speaks into the situation. And you know, this is the first time in Luke's gospel where he uses the title Lord for Jesus Christ. He hasn't used it before. This is the very first time where Luke uses that, because he is the Lord of life. He speaks into this situation, and it is his power and authority that manifests itself in those people, and it is just because he wanted to. Just because he loves them. God loves to bless people who don't deserve it. That is his nature. You know, you cannot understand the Christian life unless you understand this amazing grace. It is at the heart of our faith. It is at the heart of our relationship with God. When you understand Christ's amazing compassion for you, you are going to feel closer to God. And the closer you are to God, the more you're going to want to do His will. The closer you're going to be to God, the more you're going to love the things that God loves, the more you're going to dislike the things that God dislikes, and you're going to be drawn to Him, and you're going to be drawn to His holiness, and He's going to work that in you, and it all starts with His compassion. It's based on His compassion for us. That's what brings the change. That's grace. It's the principle of God's grace. It's the principle of how God's grace works in this world and in us through Jesus Christ. You know, it's interesting, Luke builds on this, because the next reading that we're going to have next week is the sinful woman anointing Jesus' feet. And those Pharisees could not understand that. They're just sitting there going, this woman's a sinful woman. They could not understand that sort of grace and compassion. But she saw Jesus differently. She saw Jesus as the compassionate, forgiving Savior, and that's who He was to her. Because that's how she saw Him. She saw Him rightly. And that's what He was, and that's the truth that was revealed to her, and that's what she clung on to. And He spoke to her and said, "You're forgiven." And they could not understand that. The compassionate grace of God is what brings us into the fullness of a relationship with Him. It's not what you do. It's not how hard you work. It's not how religious you are. It's got nothing to do with that. All those things, in fact, can get in the way. And God says, no, just receive of my grace and my compassion. I found a testimony from a man that just highlighted this for me. He's part of Jews for Jesus. Maybe you've heard of that evangelistic organization. A really fine group and do a lot of nice work. But this man is Jack Sternberg. He's an oncologist and has seen his fair share of suffering and people dying. And actually, his own testimony on the Jews for Jesus website is that he was really bitter and just, you know, angry at God. But this one woman came into his life. He was treating her for terminal breast cancer. And she was in her early 30s with a husband and a young child, whom she was soon going to leave widowed and motherless. Yet, she seemed more concerned about Jack's spiritual welfare in him knowing Jesus Christ than the fact that she was dying. She saw his lostness and his separation from God as a greater tragedy than her own illness. And that just changed his life. You know, it caused him, actually moved him with a friend to go to church and come to know this loving, compassionate Savior. It starts with God's compassion. And this miracle of Jesus Christ roots us and grounds us in that being our essential life-giving relationship with Him. I pray that, you know, you would have the time this week, maybe this afternoon, regardless of how you think or how you feel, you just have the opportunity just to draw into God's presence and just say, thank you. Thank you for your amazing grace. You know, make your needs known to Him. He already knows them. And the key is then to trust unwaveringly in His compassionate response to you. There is nothing too small. There is nothing too big. Even death is not an obstacle to Him. Look to Him to inspire. That's the work of the Holy Spirit working in us, a powerful, a living faith through the compassion of Jesus Christ. In His name, amen. Gracious Lord, we ask that You would just reveal to us Your incredible love for us. We see it in the scars on Your hands and Your feet that You bore in our place. Lord, just draw us into Your presence and away from the things that harm, the way things that worry us and stress us. Let us just be enveloped by Your love and grace in Jesus' name. Amen.